Jare deko tare koha Krishna upadesh, amar agyai guru hoya taro e desh. This was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whoever you see, tell them the instructions of Krishna. On my order, become a guru. And deliver this land. This instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given to one particular devotee of his. Who had just come into contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A new bhakta. And Srila Prabhupada often quoted this, taking it as generic instruction for all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this particular incident that's described of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing one particular person was repeated again and again and again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled throughout South India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to a village or a town. He would inspire one or more people in the pure devotional service which he came to this world to distribute. And he would instruct them to instruct others in what he had instructed them. And in this way, Krishna consciousness, as enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spread widely throughout South India. Oh, one point I left out. And the people that were instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would instruct others, and those others would also instruct others. And it went on like this. Srila Prabhupada often quoted this verse. And his whole movement was Srila Prabhupada's whole activity, which he transmitted to his followers, was that preaching Krishna consciousness. I'm speaking on this topic specifically because I was requested to by Akshayananda Prabhu. Who has observed that people are taking up Krishna consciousness by being preached to are often not that much enthusiastic to take the parampara, the next step forward by themselves preaching. Now, as Srila Prabhupada wisely, realistically, and reassuringly pointed out, Not everyone can be a great preaching acharya like Ramanuja Acharya or Madhva Acharya. And Madhva Acharya. Have you all heard of Ramanuja and Madhva? You've all heard of them. Okay, that's good. Maybe they haven't. Well. Anyway, they were great preachers, Then, if we have to describe them, we'll be here for another whole day on each one. But everyone can preach Krishna conscious, at least within their own circle. Among their family and friends. Of course, we often find that when devotees preach among the people, take to Krishna consciousness, and they start preaching among their friends about Krishna consciousness, they lose their friends. One man who I met, this is many years ago, I advised him to preach, and he was thinking, well, how to do that?
Il y a longtemps, j'ai rencontré une personne et j'ai dit à lui de commencer de prêcher. Il s'est posé une question, comment peut-on le faire?
And after some time, he wrote to me and said, I'm losing all my friends.
Un peu plus tard, il m'a écrit une lettre en me disant qu'il avait perdu, qu'il était en train de perdre tous ses amis.
So I said, never mind, distribute Srila Prabhupada's books and then you'll get new friends and better friends. Which actually happened. Srila Prabhupada wrote, I just read it less than half an hour ago. Well, about half an hour ago. I read it again. I was reading Srila Prabhupada's letters. And Srila Prabhupada wrote that there is no better way of preaching Krishna consciousness than distributing his books. Of course, it's not the only way to preach Krishna consciousness. And a lot of preaching is to do. It's not just what we say, but the whole atmosphere of Krishna consciousness that's created is attractive. I know I can cite my own case when I first came to a temple of Krishna in this life. That was Bhaktivedanta Manor just outside London in the United Kingdom. Immediately, as soon as entered the door, this smell of incense that it was pervading the whole building, and I found that very attractive. Then, seconds after that, or nanoseconds after that, or simultaneously, I noticed beautiful pictures of Krishna, which I also found very attractive. And then I saw the shining faces of the devotees, which I also found attractive. So before I spoke to anyone or before anyone spoke to me, I was already predisposed to hear what they had to say. So, transmitting. Well, generally, we talk about preaching Krishna consciousness, which gives the it gives the idea of speaking. And that's actually what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said: "Kaha, speak the message of Krishna." And that would be of particular importance in the culture that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ministering to, ministering within. That at that time in India, discussion on philosophical topics derived from Shastra was central to the culture, especially, well, particularly the Brahminical culture.
À cette époque-là, en Inde, les discussions autour de la philosophie basée sur les écrits védiques étaient très, très importantes.
So, this vada, or discussion of one person trying to defeat another on philosophical basis, that was prominent.
On parle du vada, ou bien discussion de la part d'une personne qui essaie de défendre les autres en les convaincant sur tel ou tel point philosophique.
But actually, when we see in the case of the Brahmin who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to, it wasn't that he was only attracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophical teachings. We find also that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached Sri Rangam, which is the main, yeah, when, okay, bit by bit, when he reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, eventually reached Sri Rangam. Which is the main center of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Again, we're speaking of Ramanuja. And that was and is still today a place where many Brahmins reside. So the Brahmins there, they were attracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful form and particularly by his dancing and chanting the names of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later had discussions with some of the Brahmins there. So, preaching particularly means speaking. I don't know if that comes out in your language also. It's not your language, you're in French. In prédication, does it mean also speaking particularly? It's funny, it has a completely different meaning in English. It's not, I mean, the word predication is hardly ever used in English anyway, but it doesn't mean preaching. It's almost a non-word. Srila Prabhupada considered his whole movement for preaching.
Donc Srila Prabhupada voyait le mouvement pour la conscience de Krishna comme le mouvement pour de prédicateur.
So that includes, very importantly, as Srila Prabhupada said, distributing his books. But also going out in public places and chanting the holy names of Krishna in a group.
Mais aussi aller dans les endroits publics et chanter les saints noms de Sri Krishna en compagnie de devotees.
Distributing Krishna prasadam, holding festivals, writing books.
Distribuer le Krishna prasad, distribuer le faire des festivals et écrire des livres.
So because the whole movement is meant for preaching, therefore everything is considered a limb or of that preaching.
Le but du mouvement est la prédication, donc quelle que soit l'activité qui est liée au mouvement, elle est considérée comme une partie du corps de ce mouvement.
But at the same time, we shouldn't think our work is complete if we don't actually speak the message of Krishna. Now, Srila Prabhupada's overall strategy, of course, if we talk about that, there are so many details there.
La stratégie de Srila Prabhupada, nous devons comprendre qu'il y a beaucoup de détails, mais la stratégie générale...
Sorry for speaking in non-sentences. It's non-linear thinking. I'm saying that to you. I'm saying that to you. You have to sort it all out and put it into a bona fide sentence. You start thinking in one tangent and then take a diversion. Srila Prabhupada found it very important at the beginning of his preaching activities to have a place, a center.
Srila Prabhupada disait qu'il était très important d'avoir un endroit ou un centre où les devotees pouvaient prêcher.
Where people could come to regularly hear him.
C'était un endroit où les gens pouvaient venir l'écouter.
And chant with him.
Aussi bien que chanter avec lui.
And associate with him. Of course, that's not fully required. One can speak about Krishna anywhere and everywhere. But there are certain distinct advantages to having one's own particular center for preaching Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada had experienced in America before he founded his own center, his message was not always welcome everywhere he spoke it.
Srila Prabhupada a eu sa propre expérience qui concernait sa prédication, et Srila Prabhupada comprenait que sa prédication ne pouvait pas avoir le succès dans tous les endroits.
Srila Prabhupada often spoke at the yoga studio and sometimes at the upcountry ashram of one Dr. Mishra.
Souvent Srila Prabhupada prêchait dans un centre de yoga et c'était un ashram du Dr. Mishra.
Who had immigrated to America as a medical doctor.
Cette personne-là avait immigré de l'Inde aux États-Unis en tant que
but later on took up as an alternative profession the teaching of yoga.
Un peu plus tard, il a décidé d'exercer un autre métier, c'était le métier de l'enseignant du yoga.
And he was a Mayavadi.
Mais il était aussi Mayavadi.
Do you all know what a Mayavadi is?
Est-ce que vous savez qui sont les Mayavadi?
You all know.
Est-ce que tout le monde sait qui sont les Mayavadi?
Okay. All right. Well, the heads are nodding. So that means yes, is it? Okay. I don't know, because gestures are different in different countries. So, he would tell Swamiji, Bhaktivedanta Swami, you come and you do your kirtan, but don't speak. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to have his own place where he could speak what he needed to speak, the absolute truth.
Donc Srila Prabhupada voulait avoir un endroit qui pouvait lui appartenir, un endroit où il pouvait parler ce qu'il devait, où il pouvait dire ce qu'il devait.
And having your own center means that people who come are coming specifically to hear you, in this case Srila Prabhupada. Whereas you can speak to people who are coming to a yoga studio, but they're coming for yoga, as they misunderstand it, not for Srila Prabhupada's message. So one can and should speak Krishna consciousness in all kinds of venues. But one needs a specific venue for speaking to people who are specifically interested in what is to be said, Krishna consciousness. And if you're in a general group, then you might get one or two. If you say among 100 people, you might get one or two people who are somewhat interested.
Si on prend une centaine de personnes, peut-être il y aura une ou deux personnes qui seront intéressées par la conscience de Krishna.
But if you have your own center, then people can come who are specifically interested in that and who want to hear about that. And one can gradually instruct them above the basic level that one has to speak at when one is speaking to people who don't know and about and are not interested in Krishna consciousness. So a center is needed. Where people can be gradually instructed in the science of Krishna consciousness. And they can be engaged in activities of Krishna's service. So the temple was the preaching hub. That was the basic unit in Srila Prabhupada's preaching strategy. And of course, from that beginning at 26 Second Avenue, gradually temples were established all over the world. And at 26 Second Avenue in the beginning, the newcomers, they were very neophyte and really didn't know hardly anything. But gradually, as things developed, Srila Prabhupada established temples with deities and trained the devotees in Brahminical culture. So that's another point which of the temple that attached to that is the ashram where people can actually live. Where people can live together with other devotees and take their association. So the temple serves many purposes. It creates an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. So that people, when they come, if they're open and receptive to that, then they become attracted. As I gave the example of myself becoming attracted. I also remember from those days when I was living in Bhaktivedanta Manor that one day one workman came. He had to do some work, I don't know, electrical work or something. So I showed him the temple room, as we call it. As I believe he had some work to do in there. I believe means, I don't remember clearly now. And he said, oh, so nice. This nice wooden panels. And the floor is very nice design. He looked up and he saw chandeliers. That must be a French word. They were ahead of the English in these things. Must have been from the... Who's that? The Sun King, Louis the 14th or something. Was it? Even before that, yeah. So he's, but he never saw the deities at all. He would say everything's, but he didn't even notice the deities. It's amazing because the deities, they take up one whole end of the room, but he didn't notice them. Yeah, he just saw the decor. He didn't see Krishna, who the decor is meant for. Does this have to stay? Does it matter if it goes off? I put it back again. Does it hibernate itself? Yeah, because it's still the cameras. I see, okay. All right. So what was the point? Yeah, there should be an atmosphere by which people are attracted to Krishna. And from the temple, people go out, devotees go out. And as Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter, the temple is not a place for eating and sleeping.
Une fois, Srila Prabhupada a dit que les temples n'étaient pas un lieu où les gens pouvaient manger et dormir.
Actually, in one sense, it is.
D'un côté, c'est vrai.
The devotees live there, and their eating and sleeping is taken care of. Or you can say arrangements are made for that, something like that, because it's an idiomatic usage, taken care of. Is it idiomatic? Semi-idiomatic usage. So you could say arrangements are made for eating and sleeping. Well, it's semi-idiomatic, I guess you could say, if there's any such term. Someone looks after it for you. So, but that's not the whole purpose of the temple, that we've made this temple so people can come and eat and sleep. Srila Prabhupada wrote that the temple is not a place for eating and sleeping, it's a place from which devotees can go out and distribute books to the general populace. And it's a place where the ashram that's in the Western world, in the Christian tradition, probably the nearest or close equivalent to that is a seminary. There's the monastery and the seminary, and they're not exactly the same thing. A monastery is where monks live, and it may also be a seminary in which monks and priests are trained in the teachings that they made up or whatever.
Le monastère, c'est un endroit où les moines vivent, mais en ce qui concerne le séminaire, c'est un endroit où les moines, où les gens peuvent être enseignés.
So the ashram is meant to be a place for Brahminical culture. And the Brahminical culture can be summarized in two words, Vairagya Vidya. Vairagya is translated as detachment. And Vidya as knowledge. And Vidya is more or less synonymous with another well-known term, Jnana. But Vidya, this term, it also gives the sense of a knowledge applied in practical usage. More like practical knowledge, as compared to theoretical knowledge. That it's not exactly, but it's some. It has more of that nuance than does jnana. So Vairagya and Vidya are the cornerstones of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings of bhakti. Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yogam Shikshartam Ekam Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Shiradhari Kripam Buddhi Yastamahang Prapadye. Savam Bhattacharya, who was a great jnani, a greatly learned person, praised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way.
Savam Bhattacharya
that I surrender to that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's an ocean of mercy. Who is the ancient, eternal person?
Je m'abandonne à cette personne qui est la plus ancienne personne qui
existe. Who has come to this world for the sake of teaching?
Je m'abandonne à cette personne qui est descendue dans ce monde pour le but de distribuer la connaissance.
Teaching devotion to himself. Which is based on vairagya and vidya. So ashrams are meant to be places of vairagya and vidya. And that also creates a certain atmosphere. And if we go in any ashram, any bona fide or serious ashram in India or anywhere else, we can feel the spiritual vibrations. I mean, even if you go in a Mayavadi ashram, because they're cultivating vairagya and vidya, there is a certain atmosphere created. I'm not talking about something completely, totally bogus, but I mean there are, well, just like the mutts of Shankaracharya. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Shankara an Acharya, so he gave some credence to him. So in those ashrams there is serious study of the I'm talking about the just like Sringeri or Puri Govardhan Math or like this, the ones I visited. In Dwarka they don't really
have that.
So there's definitely an atmosphere created by that, by study of the Vedas and adhering to a strict life. So, of course, the culmination of vairagya and vidya, detachment and knowledge, is in bhakti. So that's also an important part of preaching. Devotees have the qualities of knowledge, detachment, and devotion. And that creates a certain atmosphere. Which people, if they're at all sensitive, they will appreciate that. If they're not at all spiritually attuned, they won't appreciate it. Of course, there are temples, which Bhaktisthan Sasar Thakur pointed out, which the purpose is not really spiritual cultivation. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that better than showing the deity to collect some money so that one can live one's life comfortably, it's better to be an honest sweeper in the street. And to contextualize that statement, here in the land of liberté, égalité, fraternité, theoretically, to sweep the street is as good as being the president of the country, theoretically. You know what that means? Liberté, égalité, fraternité. It means liberty. You heard of that one, right? You live in America, where they theoretically they borrowed it all from the French. Liberty, equality, and brotherhood. It was the motto of the French Revolution, which ended in terrible bloodshed. So anyway, in India, who's sweeping the street, they're considered very low class. And it used to be, I mean, even, I don't know now, but when I was a kid in England, the people who took out the trash, they were considered at the lower end of the respectability scale. But who is worshipping in the temple? They're Brahmin. So Brahmins, only they can worship the deity. And they're considered very high status. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that better than showing the deity just to collect some money for running on one's family life, better that you earn money honestly by sweeping the street. So Srila Prabhupada's temples were meant to be dynamic preaching centers. From which devotees would go out and spread the message of Krishna. By distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, principally, and by other means. And people who are attracted enough, they read the book and they find there's something attractive there, then they can come to the temple. Where they find a whole atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. And people can see that Krishna consciousness is something that works in people's lives by seeing the people in whose lives it works.
gens peuvent appliquer les principes qui sont décrits dans les livres de Srila Prabhupada dans leur vie quotidienne.
But the temple, there must be vairagya and vidya.
Mais en ce qui concerne les temples doivent cultiver le vairagya et le vidya.
Detachment and knowledge, I'll say again. Otherwise, without that, if people come to the temple and they find that, well, it's a little different, it's not like an ordinary place, but more or less the people's consciousness is the same, then it doesn't fulfill its function.
Dans le cas contraire, les gens peuvent venir au temple, bien sûr, ils peuvent trouver que le temple est différent des autres endroits, mais quand même la conscience ou la mentalité des habitants du temple est la même que chez les autres.
And of course, Srila Prabhupada also wanted to set up varnashram communities and gurukuls. Which are all, they all develop from preaching. And they reinforce the preaching. By showing showing how people can practically live in Krishna consciousness. That Krishna consciousness is not just for a few elite people who can live a very renounced life. But everyone can take part in Krishna consciousness according to whatever psychophysical propensities they may have.
Mais n'importe quelle personne, tout le monde peut devenir consciente de Krishna selon ses capacités physiques et mentales.
Swakarmana tam abhyacha siddhin vindati manavaha. Everyone, by performing their activities according to their psychophysical nature, can achieve perfection by worshipping Krishna via that work.
En exécutant ces activités selon les capacités physiques et mentales, n'importe quelle personne peut avoir ou recevoir le but ultime.
Of course, in the varnashram communities, there must be vairagya and vidya also. But there are levels of that. Now, this was the structure that Srila Prabhupada set up, or that he was in the process of setting up for organizing his international society for Krishna consciousness. Association Internationale pour la Conscience de Krishna.
Donc c'est là la structure du mouvement qui avait été établie par Srila Prabhupada, où Maharaj cite le nom de notre mouvement, l'Association Internationale pour la Conscience de Krishna.
That structure we often find in many parts of the world. It is there, but in many cases it's somewhat or almost wholly dysfunctional. Either the temples aren't functioning as they should do. Well, that's the main problem, for whatever reason. There aren't many ISKCON, let's put it this way, we can say that it's a minority of temples in ISKCON which function as dynamic preaching centers.
D'une manière correcte où la prédication dynamique a lieu.
then most of them are not places from which the inmates sortie out every day to go among the people in general and deliver Krishna consciousness. Now, preaching of Krishna consciousness does not depend upon this structure. It is an excellent structure given by the representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila
Prabhupada.
But ultimately, the preaching of Krishna consciousness doesn't depend on any structure. And we shouldn't minimize the importance of that structure. But at the same time, if that structure is not there, or if it's not functioning as to the standard that Srila Prabhupada intended, still individual devotees can preach Krishna consciousness.
Selon les standards qui avaient été établis par Srila Prabhupada, les devotees ne doivent pas être découragés, ils doivent continuer de prêcher.
For people coming newly to Krishna consciousness,
ils doivent continuer de prêcher aux gens qui commencent à devenir dans la conscience.
Or for those who may be married and may be performing some job or business or whatever, not living in or close to the temple. The temple and the temple devotees should ideally serve as an inspiration. That this is a standard that we can aspire to as far as possible. Without seeing a very high level of ideal Krishna consciousness, people themselves are less likely to become inspired to strive to come to a higher level. If they see the persons who are supposed to represent Krishna consciousness themselves not being so much serious about Krishna consciousness, then it becomes very difficult to inspire newcomers to be serious themselves. We have to tell people, you have to be serious about Krishna consciousness. But then they see the persons who are supposed to be the leaders or the most advanced in Krishna consciousness, who in some cases are not themselves so very serious in their practices. And it also happens, it's quite common nowadays, that someone who's taking up Krishna consciousness and they're becoming more and more serious, and then someone who's got the title senior devotee tells them, don't be so serious.
Cette personne en lui disant de ne pas être aussi sérieuse.
Just relax.
Repose-toi.
Let's go and have a game of volleyball. I'm just saying that because someone told me that in their city, devotees had gone to the forest to have a all-day kirtan, but then after 1.5 hours or so, they just started playing volleyball instead.
Je dis cela parce que je viens de, d'apprendre une nouvelle. Les devots m'ont raconté que, qu'une fois, ils voulaient aller dans la forêt pour chanter le kirtan de la, durant toute la journée, mais une heure et demie plus tard, les devots ont abandonné le kirtan et ils ont décidé de jouer du volleyball.
So how to be, how to inspire devotees to preach Krishna consciousness? Those who are inspired by Krishna consciousness, they can inspire others in Krishna consciousness. And when one is inspired in Krishna consciousness, then naturally one wants to share that with others. A preaching cannot be legislated.
La prédication ne peut être légiférée.
That you,
sous la législation.
Before you get a recommendation for initiation, you have to go out distributing books at least 2 hours a week for 2 years, something like that. It may be legislated like that.
Par exemple, on peut voir la loi comme ça avant de recevoir votre recommandation pour.
Actually, that's a pretty good idea. But ultimately, although the order is there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, but one oneself has to be so inspired by Krishna consciousness that one wants to share it with others. So that means that one has to be deeply affected by Krishna consciousness. And that one wants to communicate to others that just as my life has been changed, you also should change your life. Now there are different levels of preaching. We can organize festivals which are attractive to people.
On peut organiser les festivals qui attirent les gens.
And people, they may feel, this is very nice.
Les gens peuvent penser que
but to bring them to the point of surrendering to Krishna, they're going to have to come to a more... A stage of consciousness beyond thinking that something is merely nice. To bring them to Vairagya, there must be Vidya. Because serious practice of Krishna consciousness is typified by detachment from this world.
La pratique sérieuse de la conscience de Krishna est marquée par le savoir transcendantal.
No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication.
Pas de consommation de viande, pas d'intoxication.
No cinema, no TV, no... no kami food, no kami books. One becomes a social non-entity. That's why you lose all your friends. Why all these things? What's wrong? You sometimes go and see a movie.
Pourquoi est-ce que nous devons nier, interdire tout cela? Qu'est-ce qu'il y a de mauvais si on regarde un film?
Because anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. One has understood that Krishna consciousness is so important that I must do only what is favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness.
La conscience de Krishna est si favorable que l'on doit abandonner toutes les autres activités qui ne plaisent pas à Krishna.
No. You must do activities which are favorable. That abandoning is the next one. Pratikulyasya varjanam. One must perform activities that are favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness. And one must abandon all activities that are anti-conducive. What's the word for that? They are detrimental toward cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So we are asking people to make a very great commitment.
Donc, on doit devenir sérieux.
On the basis of vidya, knowledge. Of understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita.
Nous devons comprendre les enseignements de la Bhagavad Gita.
That I have no real connection with this material world whatsoever. My real life is in association with Krishna. So, how devotees will become inspired for preaching, that was the subject I was asked to speak about. They have to understand that Krishna consciousness is really all there is. Everything else is simply a waste of time. If we only present Krishna consciousness as something nice without giving a clear understanding of the necessity of Krishna consciousness, that's a half sentence.
Si nous donnons aux gens la conscience de Krishna en la présentant comme une chose sympathique, mais sans leur donnant la profondeur de cette culture.
Yeah, the profundity, yeah, that's a good word. Then people may think, oh yes, Krishna consciousness is very nice. So, I may sometimes go to the temple. But my girlfriend is also very nice. And my dog and my cat, they're also very nice. And Hare Krishna dancing is very nice, but disco dancing is also nice. And one remains on the platform of sankalpa vikalpa, accepting and rejecting on the basis of one's own imagined sense enjoyment.
Donc, ainsi, reste-t-on sur le niveau de la compréhension de sankalpa vikalpa. Donc, on accepte et on nie les choses selon sa nature conditionnée.
So everyone can, and every devotee can and should preach Krishna consciousness. And ideally, there should be a powerful, united preaching movement that sweeps the world. In the absence of that, it's up to pockets of devotees and individuals here and there to carry the preaching mission forward. I mean, it's not that the preaching has completely stopped everywhere. But we can safely say that the strong spirit of preaching that Srila Prabhupada inculcated in us, that intense mode of preaching, to a large extent, does not nowadays typify our movement. It is unfortunate that this is the situation. But Krishna consciousness is as urgent and necessary as ever it was before. And in fact, with the galloping degradation of the world, it becomes more and more urgent and necessary. Well, it can't really become more necessary. It becomes more and more urgent to preach Krishna consciousness in a very powerful way. So who will preach? Those prana cheja shehetu pracha. Who has got the life to do so, they will preach. That will come from one's own conviction. Of course, there may be other incentives for preaching Krishna consciousness. Incentive, that word is not in French. Motivations, it's almost the same word. It's not exactly the same word. One may do so for the sake of raising funds, which are not specifically for preaching Krishna consciousness. One may do so for prestige. But real preaching means the desire to see that others are benefited by surrendering their life to Krishna. So any individual can take that up. To get that inspiration, it would be, if there is a strong movement, then everyone gets swept in the wave of inspiration. If not, then if that is there, and even if it is not there, one can become inspired for preaching Krishna consciousness by studying Srila Prabhupada's books and by following the directions therein. If one is convinced by the knowledge in those books, one will certainly want to share it with others. So there are a few thoughts about preaching Krishna consciousness in today's circumstances. I'm particularly discussing about the circumstances within the Vaishnava, or some of the circumstances within the Vaishnava world, more than the circumstances within the world in general. For further consideration of this subject, one may consult this book which I compiled called On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service. Service. Mm. So, Hare Krishna, I'll finish there unless there are any questions. Questions come through this also? Through Justin TV? There's no facility.
Prabhu asks you two questions which are connected or united. One question, both of them concern brahmacharis, and in which cases can we say that a person is brahmachari if he is not married and if he is not working?
Is a brahmachari if he's not married and he's not working?
Can
we call him a brahmachari? This is discussed in my book, Brahmachari and Krishna Consciousness. A brahmachari is not simply someone who's not married. Brahmachari means Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanto Guru Hitam Guru Hitam Acharanda Savani Cho Sudhrita Guru Suhrida, which means that a brahmachari lives in the Gurukul. He controls his senses. He behaves as a servant of the Guru, as a menial servant of the Guru. And has a strong sense of Sudhrita Guru Sohridam, has a strong sense of affinity with his Guru. Then there was another question.
In which conditions a brahmachari can work?
In what conditions can a brahmachari work? You mean go outside and do a job? Otherwise,
For example, here in Europe, is it possible for a brahmachari to start working?
Well, a general condition is a brahmacharya is a student living in the ashram under the guru. Brahmacharya doesn't mean someone who goes out to work. But there could be an exception if the guru orders him to do so. Okay, then someone else had a question. So many questions about brahmacharis. I didn't use the word brahmachari even once in the class. And I didn't speak about that at all. But I all right, let him. But I won't take any more because I didn't speak. It's off topic.
Yuri Prabhupada posait la question qui concerne les brahmachari, mais après Maharaj n'en parlera plus. Anyway, Yuri Prabhupada decides to ask another question. What does it mean? What does it mean to be serious in Krishna consciousness for a devotee?
What does it mean to be serious in Krishna consciousness for a devotee?
Qu'est-ce que cela signifie être sérieux dans la conscience de Krishna pour un dévot?
You don't know what the word serious means?
Est-ce que vous ne savez pas ce que
it's a straightforward term. I mean, if we say to take something seriously, everyone understands what that means.
Lorsque l'on dit prendre quelque chose pour sérieux, tout le monde le sait.
You give much importance to it.
Cela signifie que cette chose a beaucoup d'importance pour nous.
You don't consider it something light.
Vous ne considérez pas cette vous ne prenez pas cette chose pour à la légère.
Seriously means one should follow everything very strictly.
Être sérieux signifie suivre d'une manière stricte.
So Hare Krishna, we finish. Oh no, still a question. New media?
I mean, you say new media, internet,
yeah.
Media, a medium for communication.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a really good way to preach, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And this new medium has its own way to work, and especially there's the idea of especially distributing Prabhupada's books.
Mm.
People don't want to pay when it comes to digital. So should we insist even digital forms of Sri Prabhupada's book that people pay, or as we have no cost for printing them, should we distribute
Prabhupada's books free on the internet?
Or anything. La question de l'Église Prabhupada concerne la prédication sur internet. Lorsque l'on distribue aujourd'hui, on peut voir que les gens, avec l'apparition d'internet, il y a beaucoup de moyens de prêcher et il y a beaucoup de moyens de distribuer les livres. Mais les gens, lorsqu'ils achètent les livres numériques, ils ne veulent pas payer parce qu'il n'y a pas besoin d'imprimer les livres. Donc, est-ce que les dévots doivent distribuer quoi que ce soit ou l'information sur Internet gratuitement?
Well, should we or should we not is one question, but factually speaking, probably they're out there anyway. Available, so it becomes a moot question.
Soit nous distribuons gratuitement, soit nous distribuons les livres ou en demandant aux gens de payer. En tous les cas, les livres se trouvent déjà sont déjà gratuits sur Internet. Et c'est la question de l'humeur.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.